Protocols of the Meetings of the Learned Elders of Zion. Protocol Number 5. Despotism and Modern Progress. 1. What form of administrative rule can be given to communities in which corruption has penetrated everywhere, communities where riches are attained only by the clever surprise tactics of semi-swindling tricks, where looseness reigns, where morality is maintained by penal measures and harsh laws, but not by voluntarily accepted principles, where the feelings towards faith and country are obligated by cosmopolitan convictions? What form of rule is to be given to these communities, if not that despotism, which I shall describe to you later? We shall create an intensified centralization of government in order to grip in our hands all the forces of the community. We shall regulate mechanically all the actions of the political life of our subjects by new laws. These laws will withdraw, one by one, all the indulgences and liberties which have been permitted by the goyim, and our kingdom will be distinguished by a despotism of such magnificent proportions as to be at any moment and in every place in a position to wipe out any goyim who opposes by deed or word. 2. We shall be told that such a despotism as I speak of is not consistent with the progress of these days, but I will prove to you that it is. 3. In the times when the peoples looked upon kings on their thrones as on a pure manifestation of the will of God, they submitted without a murmur to the despotic power of kings. But from the day when we insinuated into their minds the conception of their own rights, they begin to regard the occupants of thrones as mere ordinary mortals. The holy unction of the Lord's anointed has fallen from the heads of kings in the eyes of the people, and when we also robbed them of their faith in God, the might of power was flung upon the streets, into the place of public proprietorship, and was seized by us. 4. Moreover, the art of directing masses and individuals, by means of cleverly manipulated theory and verbiage, by regulations of life and common, and all sorts of other quirks, in all which the goyim understand nothing, belongs likewise to the specialists of our administrative brain. Reared on analysis, observation, on delicacies of fine calculation, in this species of skill we have no rivals, any more than we have either in the drawing up of plans, of political actions in solidarity. In this respect the Jesuits alone might have compared with us, but we have contrived to discredit them, in the eyes of the unthinking mob, as an overt organization, while we ourselves all the while have kept our secret organization in the shade. However, it is probably all the same to the world, who is its sovereign lord, whether the head of Catholicism, or our despot of the blood of Zion. But to us, the chosen people, it is very far from being a matter of indifference. 5. For a time perhaps, we might be successfully dealt with by a coalition of the goyim of all the world. But from this danger we are secured by the discord existing among them, whose roots are so deeply seated that they can never now be plucked up. We have set one against another the personal and national reckonings of the goyim, religious and race hatreds, which we have fostered into a huge growth in the course of the past 20 centuries. This is the reason why there is not one state which would anywhere receive support if it were to raise its arm, for every one of them must bear in mind that any agreement against us would be unprofitable to itself. We are too strong, there is no evading our power. The nations cannot come to even an inconsiderable private agreement without our secretly having a hand in it. 6. Per me regis regnant. It is through me that kings reign. And it was said by the prophets that we were chosen by God Himself to rule over the whole earth. God has endowed us with genius, that we may be equal to our task. Were genius in the opposite camp, it would still struggle against us, but even so, a newcomer is no match for the old established settler. The struggle would be merciless between us, such a fight as the world has never seen. I, and the genius on their side, would have arrived too late. All the wheels of the machinery of all states go by the force of the engine which is in our hands, and that engine of the machinery of states is gold. The science of political economy, invented by our learned elders, has for long past been giving royal prestige to capital. 7. Capital, if it is to cooperate untrammeled, must be free to establish a monopoly of industry and trade. This is already being put in execution by an unseen hand in all quarters of the world. This freedom will give political force to those engaged in industry, and that will help to oppress the people. Nowadays, it is more important to disarm the peoples than to lead them into war. More important to use for our advantage the passions which have burst into flames than to quench their fire. More important to eradicate them. The principal object of our directorate consists in this: to debilitate the public mind by criticism, to lead it away from serious reflections calculated to arouse resistance, to distract the forces of the mind towards a sham fight of empty eloquence. 8. In all ages, the people of the world, equally with individuals, have accepted words for deeds, for they are content with a show, and rarely pause to note, in the public arena, whether promises are followed by performance. Therefore, we shall establish show institutions which will give eloquent proof of their benefit to progress. 9. We shall assume to ourselves the liberal physiognomy of all parties, of all directions, and we shall give that physiognomy a voice in orators, who will speak so much that they will exhaust the patience of their hearers and produce an abhorrence of oratory. 10. In order to put public opinion into our hands, we must bring it into a state of bewilderment by giving expression from all sides to so many contradictory opinions, and for such length of time as will suffice to make the goyim lose their heads in the labyrinth and come to see that the best thing is to have no opinion of any kind in matters political which it is not given to the public to understand, because they are understood only by Him who guides the public. This is the first secret. 11. The second secret requisite for the success of our government is comprised in the following: to multiply to such an extent national feelings, habits, passions, conditions of civil life, that it will be impossible for anyone to know where he is in the resulting chaos, so that the people in consequence will fail to understand one another. This measure will also serve us in another way, namely, to sow discord in all parties, to dislocate all collective forces which are still unwilling to submit to us, and to discourage any kind of personal initiative which might in any degree hinder our affair. There is nothing more dangerous than personal initiative if it has genius behind it. Such initiative can do more than can be done by millions of people. among whom we have sown discord. We must so direct the education of the Goyim communities, that whenever they come upon the matter requiring initiative, they may drop their hands in despairing impotence. The strain which results from freedom of actions saps the forces when it meets with the freedom of another. From this collision arise grave moral shocks, disenchantments, failures. By all these means, we shall so wear down the Goyim that they will be compelled to offer us international power of a nature that by its position will enable us without any violence gradually to absorb all the state forces of the world and to form a supergovernment. In place of the rulers of today, we shall set up a bogey, which will be called the supergovernment administration. Its hands will reach out in all directions, like nippers, and its organization will be of such colossal dimensions that it cannot fail to subdue all the nations of the world.